Ladies and sluts, I'm Andy, day 26 of the Inner Winner Show, and I'm here with Imogen, my guest. How are you?
Hi.
Why are you making that face at me?
Hmm?
Is it because I use the word sluts?
It's because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter? What is it? Come on. What is it? It's the word sluts.
No, it's the fact that girls get the derogatory term and the men don't.
I literally said ladies and sluts. You fucking white knight. Look at that shit. I literally said ladies and sluts. Oh, my God. You think women are sluts. You hear the word sluts and you think of women.
Well, I mean,
that's so messed up.
When is
so
it not pointing
today
at women?
We are going to... Moving on. I'm just going to... I get the last word, okay? If I'm going to attack you, I get the last word.
Okay.
Fair?
Not really.
Which one of us is bigger?
Told you, you can't win this. You can't.
I can win every argument by saying that I am bigger.
Who wins at being smaller?
Me.
No.
This is the same material as like three episodes ago. So today we are answering a question. Wasn't particularly a question, but it was posted on my forums. A guy called LaCroix.
We had this discussion.
It has an X at the end.
We started.
It has an X at the end, so it's LaCroix.
Mm-hmm.
LaCroix, because it's O-I-X.
Mm-hmm.
LaCroix. Anyone listening, leave a comment or email me and tell me how to pronounce that correctly, because I know I'm correct. If you think that I'm not correct,
LaCroix.
Just email me and tell me that I am correct, because it helps my self-esteem. He says, any tips on handling situations where you hurt the other's feelings or are afraid the other is upset with you? Mm. Oh, my God. We could go such a like psychological analysis on why he said the other. Like from, mm-hmm. I don't want to like overanalyze the words or anything, because I think that that's like autistic, and
yes.
I probably am autistic. He said other, instead of my partner.
Well, yes, or the treating person. Them like the enemy, but you still say like the other person.
You say like my partner.
Well, you don't know
my
whether
boo.
It's about their partner,
my bae.
Do you?
Fine. I've gotten out of two extremely unhealthy relationships. I don't think I've ever been in a healthy one. The problem with that is you're not going to have a template of what a healthy relationship looks like. Like, we only have the context of what is written here, obviously, but like...
Mm.
And he hasn't specifically asked me to answer this, but I told him that we'd do a podcast and, you know. He did click the like button on that statement, so I'm assuming he's okay with me doing the podcast. If he's not, we'll just delete this podcast.
Mm.
In which case, we're talking to ourselves. That's fucking weird. I never want to talk to just you.
Well, we do it a lot if you never want to do it.
Yeah, and I feel weird every time we just talk to each other. I'm like, someone else should be listening to this.
Well, that...
Shout outs to like the NSA and like China and everyone who is probably listening to this right now. Facebook is listening to this right now. I know they are. Fucking Mark Zuckerberg. Get out of my ass, Mark Zuckerberg. Mm. So he goes on to say, I've got now two unhealthy relationships.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't have a template of what a healthy relationship is. You literally said, I don't think I've ever been a healthy one. So how do you know what you're moving towards? Without even reading the rest of the question or the rest of the statement,
mm.
I think probably your first job is to go out and just figure out what a healthy relationship looks like. You know what I mean? Like,
try and find one. Not even find one, I guess. Yeah.
Go read books about people who are in one. I think our relationship, as in you and me, ours is pretty healthy. Like, maybe it's hard to see from on the inside, but like compared to all the other relationships I've ever had, I've told you a million times, this is by far the healthiest one.
I mean, to be fair, because I haven't had a lot of experience, I do have to trust you on that for a lot of it.
Yeah, we've had this conversation
a lot
a million
of times,
yeah.
That I have to trust you on a lot of things because I don't have much to compare and contrast.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have some healthy relationships in your life. Your mother and her partner, that's pretty healthy, yeah. Like, I've spent some time, now that, because we're spending time here at your mother's house for context. And yeah, it's very clear they adore each other. I think they're quite good for each other.
Mm.
That's your healthy relationship. So I would say go out there and figure out, now it's up to you to find that. I'm not going to hold your hand. I mean, I'll hold your hand if you want me to. If you pay me, I'll hold your hand. You pay me like $5 hand-holding fee and I will hold it for you. It's up to you to go out there and find examples. Even just one or two of what a healthy relationship looks like. Read books, even post on the forums. Does anyone know what a healthy relationship looks like? Can you explain that to me? We could dive right into that shit on this podcast.
But that's not the question, is it?
Yeah, but I feel like without even reading any further, that's probably the first solution to his problems. It's one thing to say, I know, because he goes on to say some stuff that he's doing that he's not happy with. Mm. It's one thing to know what you want to fix, but you need to know what you're working towards. If I just say, like I said on the previous podcast about like overcoming porn addiction, you don't just say, I want to quit porn. That's the first step, but then you need to replace it with something else. What are you moving towards? You don't sit in a room and just not do something. Mm. You don't go in a relationship and just not be unhealthy. Technically, if you want to not be unhealthy, just don't do or say or think anything. And then cool, you didn't, I mean, that's unhealthy in itself. Yeah. So let's segue into that. Because when we started this podcast, I said to you before we went live, I have no idea where this will go. I haven't even fully finished reading his question. I haven't read it to you. Mm-hmm. Let's just like kind of wing this. I want to deviate on this and yeah, dive into what does a healthy relationship look like? So what do you think one looks like? You've got a couple in your life. You've seen my parents. You've heard me talk about my parents.
I mean, that's a very big question, but I guess the primary, well, I mean, a couple of things. I would say that like respect for one another in terms of like allowing them to be their own person.
There was that Mark Manson article that I read.
Oh, was this the one about like he like asked questions for people who've been in like a long relationship?
Yeah.
And he kind of like collated
yes.
aspects of what made relationships of like long-term relationships successful.
Yeah. So if you don't know who Mark Manson is, I'll leave a link in the show notes below. I'll leave a link to this actual article that we're talking about. And the premise of this article, I should turn my fucking phone off, shouldn't I? The premise of this article is he asked all of his email subscribers, which is like quadrillion, because this guy's ultra famous. He's the guy who wrote the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of them responded to the question of what, essentially like what makes a good relationship. If, he said, if you have been in a relationship or a marriage for like 20 plus years or 30 years, whatever number he set, why do you think you've been successful? And the number one recurring theme that he found, all the people that replied, was respect. Like, I respect him, he respects me.
Yeah, I think the having, because you, to be with somebody that you don't respect would mean that you think poorly of yourself. We've had this conversation a couple of times before, but if you are with somebody that you don't respect, that kind of means that you're willing to spend your time with people that you don't want to be around, which is a lack of respect for yourself. And that yes. in itself is unhealthy. Like, you need to have a certain level of put togetherness with yourself mm-hmm. to be able to then give some of that, like share some of that with somebody else. Because if you don't have your own shit together, it's very hard to be in a relationship, because being in a relationship requires giving
yep.
as well as receiving. And to give, you need to have something to give.
You don't have to fully have your shit together. I certainly don't. You don't.
Oh, absolutely. But,
like,
not.
Yeah, there's a certain baseline that you want to be over to be able to contribute something to other people, especially mm-hmm. in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to at least like yourself, I think. And you don't have to like yourself all the time. You don't.
Not at all.
Yeah. But like, if you like yourself, like let's say 75% of the time, and then you acknowledge that the times where you don't like yourself is you being hard on yourself, and it is something you're working on. That's the caveat. So, what does a healthy relationship look like? Respect. Yep. Good ones. Yep.
Independence. I think
some not, level of independence. Yeah.
Not allowing your lives to become. I mean, some couples do, and that works for them. But I think for a lot of people, not letting your lives become too enmeshed.
Yes, and we can't look at the exceptions. Okay, so there are some people who genuinely just like cling onto each other like crazy. My aunt and my uncle are a good example of that. But like, even my mother has pointed out, that's probably not super healthy. Mm. And we're giving advice for what we think will help the most number of people. And generally speaking, yes, independence, having your own freaking friends, having your own life, that's kind of a requirement for a happy relationship, unless you're one of the 0.01% who's an exception.
Yeah, because I definitely think it's a fact in which, like, if things, and they won't always, aren't perfect, you don't want to feel trapped, like you have nowhere else to go because all of your stuff is, like, too much with it. Like, you want some time to, like, be able to go away, spend some time with some other people that aren't, you know, mutual friends, and take some space from it if you need it when things aren't perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't overburden the relationship and the other person by yeah. saying, I feel shit today, you have to fix it. It's like, come on, you have to fix some of those yourself. Even if it's, it doesn't even have to be you yourself. You can go to your friends and say, can you help me feel better? Like, mm-hmm. but you can't put the burden of your feelings and emotions entirely. You can't put your entire well-being in the other person's hands. That's not fair on you, and it sure as fuck is not fair on them.
Yeah, of course. I think segueing on for that is the fact that, like, I think what's needed is some level of resilience, like an acceptance that things won't always be perfect. It won't always be sunshine and rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have disagreements, you'll have bad days, and you need to actually push through those, because if you want things to be perfect all the time and you give up as soon as some hurdles appear, things will obviously not last. That's, like, pretty self-evident in a long-term relationship. Like, bad shit will happen and you need to overcome that.
Yes, you will be disappointed in each other from time to time. And part of what this guy goes on to talk about is disappointment and that anxious feeling that comes up knowing your partner is disappointed in something you just did. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But accepting the fact that the relationship won't always be pretty. I mean, you try and make it pretty. I think our relationship is pretty, like, let's say we have one bad day every, like, 2 months. Mm-hmm. That's not even a bad day compared to relationships I've been in before. It's more like one of us is sad for a bit, or one of us is, like, disappointed in something the other one did for, like, 4 hours at the most, if not, like, 2 hours. And but there's this, like, fairy tale, this idea that, like, things are supposed to be, like, a perfect fairy tale, and that, especially in Hollywood and shit like that, right? They're like, oh, we got to love each other. And if we don't, like, love the shit out of each other, like, every single second of every, you know, freaking day, something's wrong. Yeah. And now, to be clear, we have moments where it's not, like, super freaking, like a relationship is not always fucking, I won't even say that because, like, I really like our relationship. Okay, you both have struggles. So, like, maybe you're having a day where you just feel low energy and you're just like, I'm sorry, I don't really have a lot to give today. I don't feel really, like, super energetic and I don't feel that zest for life. I'm kind of just a little bit down today. Like, I think that's probably the worst days that we ever have. And I've had days like that with you and I'm just like, hey, honey, like, I don't really have a lot to give. I'll give you a cuddle and shit today, but, like, just a heads up that, like, I can't really give you much today.
Yeah.
I'm just not in a good mood today. I'm going to be low energy and shit today.
Yeah, and I mean, even a step below that is that sometimes things are mundane. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know,
by definition.
It's not always going to be like that highlight reel of, like,
yeah,
you know, high highs. Like, you kind of just, particularly, like, in a long, and we haven't even been seeing one another for that. It's been 2 years. But, you know, after a while, things, you know, like, there's times where you're just spending time together, like,
those are actually my favorite moments, to be honest.
Things.
Those are my favorite moments. Mm. Where we're just sitting there doing, like, nothing exciting.
Yeah.
Those are nice. Like, cooking dinner together and shit like that. That's nice. I like that.
But I think there is an element of that, like, people are seeking those really high highs and that you want everything to, particularly, like, once you transition from, like, the, like, infatuation, super exciting stage to a stage where you're a bit more, I guess, comfortable and familiar with one another.
Yeah.
The dynamic of that changes, and if you go seeking, like, the, you know, crazy, like, dopamine hit from, like, falling in love with someone, that's, you know, that's not going to feel the same way after a long time.
Let's dive into that, though, because I don't think our relationship is boring.
Not at all, no.
Jesus.
What have you eaten?
Because I drank dairy, and dairy. I keep saying I shouldn't have dairy because it gives me, like, phlegm.
Yeah.
Really Jesus bad. Christ. Mm. If I was a good podcast editor, I'd edit this out. But, like, bullshit. I bet you people like this shit. They're like, oh, wow, it's so real and raw and emotional.
Because it sounds really good when someone's coughing in your ear.
I bet you there's people listening to this who'll get off on that. It's like ASMR or some shit. Okay, maybe guys wouldn't be listening. We've got to get some females listening. Mm. Where was I going with this? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know anymore.
We were talking about infatuation, the happy period at the start.
Yeah, so our relationship isn't boring, but, like, why is that? It's because we're constantly pushing towards our own goals, both of us. So, like, that is where you get the excitement from, like, living your freaking life, like, working on your mission, you building your art business, losing weight. Soon we're going to travel and make friends in our new city that we're going to. After that, it'll be, like, traveling, me with this podcast, my website, like, shit like that, coaching, helping people, like, all of this stuff is exciting as hell. So you don't have to, and I don't think you should rely on the relationship for that excited feeling. I don't think that's meant to last. Just like I would never say pick one goal and stick with that for the rest of your life and that will give you satisfaction. That's fucking insane.
Mm. Yeah, like, things, I think we're never really bored, ever.
I can't remember the last time I was bored. It would have seriously been like 10, like 7 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. So I think when I say mundane, it's not a case of things being boring or tired. It's just like it becomes a routine, maybe is a better way of saying it. And yeah, like you said, working towards something and having goals every day, having like an infinite to-do list definitely keeps things moving. There's something to work towards.
Okay. What if this is a great way of looking at it? Okay. So like, let's just talk about like fixing your dating life and your sex life. If you're a guy listening to this, which you probably are, or a transgender, or a woman, that's all of them.
Is that in order of who's most likely, or do you?
Yeah,
think
probably. There's probably more transgender people listening to this than women. I would like more women listening to this. Shout out to the women. Share this with your women. So, our if you're starting off fixing your sex and dating life, at the start, it's crazy exciting. It's crazy satisfying. It gives you, at some point, for a long time, I felt like this is the meaning of life, like going and meeting girls and having sex with them and like posting about it to my bros and shit like that. This is all that, I could do this until I'm like 80 and I'd have a perfect life, right? At some point, that stops being as satisfying, obviously, because you've gotten your fill, you know what you're doing. And then at that point, you move on to, assuming you want to like keep meeting people, you do it very efficiently. It becomes very efficient. I think our relationship, and I think probably most relationships that are healthy, get to that same point where it's like you are very efficient with the relationship. You know what I mean? Like, you know what each other need. You know how to make each other smile. Obviously, you're still trying new shit. Like, you and I are like incredibly spontaneous people and we're just always seeking new excitement. I think that's obvious we're in an open relationship. But the relationship is efficient. I know how to make you feel better. Anytime you ever feel shit. Like, I have 100 tricks at this point. They all work, right? Like, how long does it take me to make you feel better? Like, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, sometimes instantly. Like, it's not hard. Mm. It doesn't take any effort. It takes me no effort as well. Mm. At the start, if you were upset about something, it might have taken me, like, quite a bit of patience and mentoring and, like, okay, let's figure out how to make you feel better, right? We had to try 500 different techniques, mindfulness exercises, ideas from that book, You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, that I'm always talking about. I will leave a link in the show notes down below to that. So go read that. That's like a fucking amazing book. So it took me, you just taught when I hit, oh my God. So it took me quite a lot of time to work out how to make you feel better. For you to make yourself feel better. Because it's not like I'm making you feel better. I'm just more reminding you of stuff. I'm like, hey, remember this? Go do this. Do this meditation exercise and you'll do it and you feel better. And there's also a lot of like early on, it's not awkwardness, but it's like you're figuring each other out. You're figuring out each other's likes, dislikes, personality traits. You figure out how to, like you in particular, especially in sex, like you how to please me. Not that the whole relationship is you pleasing me, because yeah, it's not, but like in a sexual sense. There's like a dance that needs to happen for a while as you figure this shit out with each other. To some extent, you're both tiptoeing a little bit.
Yeah.
That's inevitable.
It's like a tentative sort of exploration, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. I don't just jump in and be like, yo, bitch, do you like this? Like, are you into this? Because, like, you know, you do like baby steps. Now, I'm pretty open and honest, mm-hmm, and very upfront and probably a bit blunt and autistic. Mm-hmm. But there's still a dance that happens while you figure out, like, if I say this, will it be over the boundaries? I'll work up to that boundary. And then we'll see what happens. And then I'll push it. And then we'll try. Like, you figure this shit out. After a certain point, certainly after a couple of years, you're at a point where you're like, yeah, we know everything about each other. Like, mm-hmm, it's just an efficient relationship at that point. And obviously, you don't want to let that settle into complacency and boredom, because that's a danger. Don't become too efficient. Mm-hmm. But it's no longer, I think that's, that ties into respect, like having an efficient relationship where you know what each other like and respecting what each other like, respecting, mm-hmm, your values, your principles, your wants, your needs, your likes and dislikes.
Do you think that, because I'm just, I guess, circling back to what prompted all of this, if you don't have much experience with a healthy relationship, because we are talking about long-term stuff, do you think it's more, yeah, worthwhile to have, like, date quite a few people and get a sense of more women, or do you think it could do just as well to find the one healthy relationship?
I always err on the side of just dating a lot of people, just because my experience and everyone else's experience, I've said it's almost impossible to know what a healthy relationship looks like if you haven't seen others yourself. I think as a newbie or someone with not a lot of experience, this guy has some experience, like it's not always super easy to know if you're currently in a good relationship or not. You said it yourself. For a while there at the start, you weren't sure if your relationship with me was healthy. You didn't think it was unhealthy. You thought it was really nice, but you were like, am I just being naive? I've never been in a relationship before. I could be wrong.
I think also before, an element of that, for a bit of context, was that one side of my family was very critical of the relationship, hinting regularly when I was talking to them on the side of like, I'm being abused.
Oh, yeah, because, like, they had found out that, you know, we did a bit of BDSM and shit, and so, yeah, they erred on the side of that's abuse, and, you know, when one of them found out we're in an open relationship, that was also, like, you know, oh, it must be abuse. Mm. Yeah, so one side of your family wasn't up for it. Your mother very much was on board and, like, yeah, as long as you're happy, like, good, yeah. Yeah, so to answer your question... Yeah, I would just err on the side of more dating experience. Obviously, if you find a great girl, like, keep dating. I'm not saying, like, ditch every girl immediately and go get more experience, bro. Like, if you find a nice girl, which you probably will, like, a good girl, like, date during that. I would also encourage, like, on the side of open relationships, because just, like, that worked for me. But obviously, if that doesn't work for you, don't do that. Like, you don't have to force it. Like, a lot of guys don't get into this kind of stuff to be in an open relationship. They just want a girl. Some people aren't even comfortable with an open relationship. Cool. Like, don't do it then. If you're on the fence, definitely try it. It's worth it. As long as you're upfront and honest with every single person and they're upfront with you and you guys know what you're getting yourself into and they agree, and you're not forcing them or convincing them. Yeah, more experience, I'd say. And then just like, but when I say more experience, like trying to draw those relationships out, the ones that are working, like, don't go out there and have as much sex as you possibly can and ditch every girl. Like, if you find, like I said, if you find ones you can, try and make it almost a mission to, like, how long can we date each other for? Like, I think that was definitely I won't say it was a game. That's not the right word, but it was like a competition, like a challenge to myself of, like, okay, I really suck at keeping girls around. Like, obviously, they get disinterested at some point. I'm doing something wrong. It was, looking back, it was mostly that I didn't treat them like they were on the same team as me. I treated them a bit too much like they were just a notch, and I was also, like, really cold and not very, I didn't treat them like they were my partner. Even casual relationships, I now treat them like, okay, we're on the same team. Even if that's literally, we're just having some cool sex together. Like, it's you and me, rather than, like, this is some bitch that I'm having sex with. Like, this is my chick to fuck. Like, yeah. So, let's tie it back to healthy relationships. Respect, boundaries, independence, like having your own life and being able to meet your own needs. And if you can't meet those needs, work on that. Like, I couldn't meet my needs. You couldn't. Mm. Like, you learn those skills. Go to counseling. Read a lot of the articles on my website, my main website.
Create social circles. Make friends.
Social circles, yeah, 100%. Yep. Make some fucking friends.
All that sort of stuff.
And I don't like to just talk, like, stupid little hypotheticals or anything. So, I'll leave a link in the show notes to an article I wrote called How to Make Friends. Because if you go out and make a good social circle, that's in some regards probably like 99% of the, like, independence that you need.
Yeah. I think also because, like you mentioned before, creating your own life. So you kind of have a sounding board, something to bounce ideas off, bounce thoughts off. You can kind of collect advice from other sources that aren't only your, like, more, less biased parties.
Yes. And if you don't have a social circle, like, go, as I said, go read that article on how to make one. Also post on forums. I mentioned that in that article. You can go post on my forums. There's a link to that in that article. Yeah. Social. So we won't, I don't think we should sit here and come up with every single facet of a healthy relationship. Yeah. Go read that Mark Manson article, because that's, like, probably, you're literally hearing from people who've been in a good relationship for, like, decades. So they will answer that better than I ever could.
Yeah, that's probably all you need if that's, the first
article. Yeah. Mm. and working on yourself, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into, so that's what a healthy relationship looks like, man. Like that would be the first advice I'd give to this guy and anyone else asking about like the questions that this guy is going to ask that I'm going to read out. Mm-hmm. Go look for a healthy relationship, focus on that, build towards that. Because as you'll see when I keep reading, the rest of his question is him saying, here's what my unhealthy relationship looks like. Or not so much that the relationship is unhealthy, that his framing of it, of certain things, is unhealthy. And you can't sit there and stare into the abyss. Like, you shouldn't just be staring at the unhealthy relationship and saying, like, look at this, this is bad. You have to have something to focus on. Mm. So he's gotten out of two extremely unhealthy relationships, doesn't think he's been in a healthy one. The main issue, at least from his point of view, that he identifies is anytime he felt the other person was unhappy with me or upset, I just couldn't take it at all. My heart would sink. I would jump straight in and try and fix it. And I just couldn't think about anything else until the situation was resolved. With my recent ex, we would sometimes stay up till 6:30 a.m., I'm not exaggerating, trying to resolve some sort of argument. Normally, we went to sleep around midnight, so staying up for like 6.5 hours afterwards talking about this shit, probably talking about it before that as well. Mm. This happened a lot of times, and I always felt like shit the next day. Yeah, man, yeah. Partly because you didn't freaking sleep, dude, yeah. I bring this up. Is there anything you want to say on that, or you want me to keep reading?
I'll let you finish and then, you know.
Yeah. Okay. We won't read the whole thing out. Like, how about I paraphrase the next bit? So right now he has a girl that he sees 2 or 3 times a week. Yeah. It sounds like not super serious, but like it's like a reasonable relationship. You mm-hmm. know, he's certainly somewhere between friends with benefits and a relationship, if not a relationship. I do a bunch of coupley stuff, but she knows I see other girls too. She doesn't really like it, but I've told her and she accepts it. Story for another time, I guess. Yeah, without hearing more context about that, we can't really talk about what you mean by, like, I think I get what you mean. She's like, yeah, I'd rather you didn't, but like, you know, yeah. Mm. Anyway, something happened and I realized I hurt her feelings over text and I realized I had no idea how to handle it. Yeah, let's talk about that in a second when I finish reading. The same old panicked and fearful sensation rose up again. Ultimately, I tried honesty. Good. I called her, tried to tell her everything was in my head, and also said I was sorry. Why'd you say sorry? We don't know what the context is. I don't know what he's apologizing for. If he's apologizing for, like, it being in his head, don't fucking apologize, man. Like,
no, I think he's apologizing for hurting her.
Okay, that's different, yeah. In the end, she seems okay. We still agree to meet up. I'm still really anxious. I don't know what she's thinking or what's going to happen. God, there's like 500 things to talk about here. This is good shit. Well, it's bad shit, but it's good. It's not bad, but it's like, it's interesting. He has no idea how to handle it. Man, we could just do an entire episode around that sentence. I realized I hurt her feelings and I had no idea how to handle it. Like, this is something that you and I have talked about a bunch. Like, it's essentially, at least in your case, a fear of disappointing someone, of letting them down.
Yeah, we said before this that though all of the sentiments in there very much echo a lot of the things that I feel around disappointment.
Because you have a very strong sense of like, I don't ever want to hurt Andy or upset him. Even though I pretty much never get hurt or upset, it's like you're tiptoeing all the time because of your upbringing with your father.
Yeah, and sometimes I probably invent that or exaggerate it. Definitely exaggerate it.
Yeah, a lot.
Most of the time.
Yeah, like the world is crashing down because you said something that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And from my point of view, it's like, you know, the most minor shit ever. Like today, should we talk about today?
Yeah.
So we were going to record this podcast and I just got off a coaching call and I have another one in like an hour from now, right? So I didn't have a lot of time. Mm. And from my point of view, I told you beforehand, I was like, yeah, let's do a podcast. You were like, yeah, let's do a podcast. I was like, okay, let's do it at this time. We got to be ready to go because I got another call at 1:00. But obviously somewhere that was lost in translation. Either I didn't make that clear enough or you just misheard or you were distracted or, you know, whatever. It doesn't freaking matter, right? And so I come out after my first coaching call and I'm like, fucking like, all right, we got to go do this now. And you're cooking pancakes, right? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't say anything. In my mind, I'm just like, yeah, okay, fine. I'll do the podcast with her in the afternoon after my second call, right? Like, no big deal. and you're like, hey, I'm making pancakes. And then I'm like, woman, I was waiting for you, right? Mm. And the world comes crashing down for you. You're like, oh my God, baby, like, are you mad at me? Like, you didn't say that, but like, that's the general what's going on in your head. Did I let him down? Did I fuck him up? Like, oh my God, like I screwed his podcast up. Like all of those things. Is he going to be mad? And you kind of like, you get into that, exactly what this guy is talking about. Like, how am I supposed to handle this? Like, I hate this tension, this anxiety, things aren't okay. And then from my point of view, I'm like, I don't really give a shit. Like, just say like, oh, sorry, we'll do it in the afternoon and I would have been okay. So jump in if there's something you want to say to that.
Yeah, no, I think it's just, it's the idea that I've, you know, I think it's a framing and it comes across in the way that this, I guess, post is worded, but like the idea that like this is all my fault, sorry, and therefore it is my responsibility.
Yeah.
It's a very like self...
It's arrogant.
Yeah, I was going to say self-centered. And obviously that's not like a criticism.
I love you to bits, dude, but you are the most arrogant motherfucker ever in this statement. Like, absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. What are you, God? Like, I hurt her feelings and it's up to me to fix it. Seriously, what are you, fucking God? Like, everything that you say here, and I'm not just tunneling in on that. If you genuinely did do something wrong or something that you're not happy with, fine, like, apologize, of course. But, like, you're literally acting like God. Like, if you've done what you need to do, as in you've said, like, okay, I'm sorry, I fucked up, and you think that that's a, like, logically, that's a reasonable apology, why is it up to you to literally control, like, get your greedy little hands in there and like a puppet master, and, like,
okay,
this I'm is framing a, this very negatively, this but I'm doing this to make a point. I'm doing guy. This to make a point. You're trying to get in there with your little puppet master fingers and go like, dance for me, puppet. Right now you're sad. I want you to be happy. Sometimes you have to just wait and the person will be upset with you for a little bit. If you've said your apology, if you've tried to make it right, you just have to wait.
Yeah,
it's almost always like that. Like, if someone's upset, they don't just immediately feel better because you said sorry. It doesn't work like that. You have to wait for the adrenaline to go down, the bad feelings to go down. That literally takes time. It takes a couple of minutes. Sometimes it takes an hour. Sometimes it takes longer. It's not, it's really, I'm trying to say this with compassion and love because I get where this comes from. Imogen feels like this too. It's really fucked up of you to say, you're essentially saying to her and anyone else that you're dating, you don't have the right to be upset right now. Or maybe you're framing it like, I don't want you to be upset right now. And my feelings, my anxiety is more important than your disappointment or your sadness or whatever it is you're feeling, your negative feelings. Like, I feel negative and anxious. So therefore, you need to just like fucking hurry up and feel better. Like, fuck you. Why are you feeling anxious? I know that you're not, it's not, that's not how you are intending for it to come across. But that is basically what's happening from an outsider's point of view. You are saying your feelings and anxiety is more important than her sadness.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is more so about like managing, I'm assuming managing that feeling, correct? Like, yeah. How do I put less
What do
focus?
I do with this feeling? And that's why I'm saying this. So basically you're being really selfish right now. And again, I'm saying this with love. I'm being hard on you because, you know, you and I have talked in the past, like, I know you can take it and you sometimes you need to hear the truth. You're being really selfish. Really selfish. You're saying, I feel anxious, so I need to put that on her or him or whoever you're dating. It's not their responsibility to fix your anxiety. Now, they can help you with that if they want to. You can definitely ask for help. You can definitely even say, like, I'm feeling really anxious right now. Can we talk about that? I know you're hurting too because I did something wrong or whatever. Like, let's come together and talk about that together. You know, I feel anxious, you feel sad, what should we do about it? Like, have that chat, of course. But, like, you can't be, because it sounds like, you know, you've been doing this with every relationship. And I had a friend who I had to cut off for other reasons, it's not important. But, like, I had a friend and he was exactly like this with every girl. Like, they would be sitting on the couch and maybe she just would be, like, super tired from work. And he would feel like crazy anxious and do everything he could to like fix that. And sometimes she wouldn't want that, but he couldn't deal with his own anxiety of seeing her upset or tired or whatever. And so he would just dump that on her and say, like, I feel anxious, so therefore you have to just hurry up and feel good so I don't have to feel anxious.
I think often that makes things worse because, like, you came back to before, like, it's this, like, desire to control other people's emotions. Like, you can't necessarily yeah. make someone else feel a certain way. Like, yeah. there are times, like we said before, like, you help me when I'm feeling a bit down. You help me take actions that make me feel better. But sometimes I just feel like shit. Like,
and in those times, what do? I just kind of carry on like life is normal, right? I just kind of go like, yeah, she feels shit. That's fine. I'm not going to sit here and like, I always try and make you feel better because I care about you. Just like I always try and make everyone feel better because I care about everyone, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a sense that you kind of, I just find it, like that can definitely, I can see it from like a girl's point of view. They're like, why aren't I allowed to be, you know, unhappy yeah, for a little yeah. bit?
Yes, yes. And that's what I do with you. There are many times, okay, because you are usually the one that says, like, I'm sorry that I feel really shitty today. Like, if you're just having a day where you're stressed from something, you will say to me, like, I'm so sorry I can't be happy. And I literally say to you, just sit in, it's fine. Like, you're allowed to feel like this. I can deal with you feeling like this. And if I can't deal with you feeling like this, I will give myself and you some space. I'll make sure you're okay. I'm not going to like shove you in a room and say like, go sit in there, bitch. But like, you know, I'll say, go sit in your room and watch a funny video or something. Watch a nice movie. Make yourself feel better. Because right now, how many times have I said to you, like, look, I'm really sorry, honey. Today, I just have my own shit to deal with. I'm here if you want to talk, but I can't really fix you. I don't have that much to give today. And it's up to you to go and sit there and sit in those feelings and feel a little better and meditate them. And eventually you just feel better. Everyone feels better all the time. No, I shouldn't say all the time. 99% of your feelings go away. Your negative feelings go away if you just wait.
Yeah, particularly if it's like an atypical like kind of thing that comes up. I tell myself that a lot, is that like the negativity will like all bad things pass.
Yeah.
And sometimes, unfortunately, that just takes time.
Yeah, and obviously doing things, like, you know, so to be clear, you talking to this girl or guy, you said they, so I don't know.
I'm assuming it's a girl, but yeah.
It could be anyone. It could be a tree. Yeah. It could be his stuffed teddy bear.
He texted a tree and the tree felt a little bit offended.
Felt sad, yeah, because you didn't, like, I don't know, give the tree a hug or something. Mm. Anyway, your partner. I need a cough.
Yeah, you're going to stop drinking dairy.
Yeah. If your partner is sad, sometimes all you really can do is do your bit and say, hey, I'm sorry I made you sad. If you genuinely did do something, then yeah, say like, hey, I'm real sorry about that. I'll cook you dinner or something, or we can talk about it, or, you know, I'll give you a couple of apologies. Then, like you said, you need to just leave that person alone to some extent.
Yeah. I think the letting go part is probably the hardest bit, and it's something that I still struggle with a lot, but I think what has helped has been like a bit of exposure therapy, really. It's just like experiencing, feeling the fact that somebody else is disappointed or upset with you, and just experiencing enough times that after a while it's like nothing bad will happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You both got through it and everything was fine a couple of days later or a couple of hours later, or everything ends up being okay.
And if it doesn't, then, like, I'm not saying, trying to phrase this correct. Like, if it really isn't okay, like, if you've done the right things and you've said, like, hey, I'm sorry that I hurt you, I'll make it up to you, and you take steps to actually fix it, and talking until 6:30 a.m. is not steps to fix it. In fact, that is making it significantly worse, because now you are basically using your anxiety and neuroses and punishing her, right? Talking to 6:30 a.m. doesn't make her feel better. I mean, it doesn't even make you feel better. You just said it doesn't make you feel better. So now you have made yourself feel shitter. Do you think your partner wants you to feel shitter? So by definition, you have made them feel shitter because you've made yourself feel shitter. You're not adding anything by talking at 6:30 a.m. It's not like you guys come out of that and go like, I'm really glad we did that, because you would have written that if that was the case. And you'd be like, yeah, it's worth it. It takes a lot of effort. It's worth it. But you're just hurting each other for like 7 hours.
I mean, depending on what triggered it, I think that for the most part, making a big fuss over it and having, because I'm assuming that they're not really big things that cause these arguments or disagreements.
Yeah, you haven't said that it's big things, and you are kind of, it sounds like you're down, you're acknowledging that they're not big things. Because if you had this conversation, yeah, if you cheat on your partner, and you're in a monogamous relationship, yeah, talking till 6:30 a.m. is like, of course.
But that's not going to be happening very often. That's exceptional circumstance. Yeah. And I think by having a giant, massive conversation, because basically we're talking about decent, like removing the stigma around disagreements and disappointment. And if you need
you're
to have
building it up.
Like an 8-hour conversation
basically
to deal with it, you're saying it's a big deal.
Yeah, you're putting it in each other's head that if we disagree on anything or if I disappoint you in any way or if I do even the slightest thing wrong, we have to talk for 7 hours about it. It's such a big deal. It's like, how are you going to have a happy relationship there? You mentioned healthy relationships and not knowing what they look like. So not only am I going to say don't talk until 7 a.m. if you have a problem, talk for half an hour, maybe an hour if it's a big problem, but, you know, 20 minutes. Just a bit, hey, I'm sorry, here's even just like 3 sentences. Hey, I'm sorry I did that. I want to make it up to you. What can I do for you? Do you want me to give you some space? Do you want to just go and feel bad for a bit and sit in the room and be mad at me for a little bit and then you'll come out and it'll be better? That's probably what I would recommend doing. We will give you some strategies for what you are supposed to do during that moment because that's going to be freaking hard for you. If you've never done that, you're going to be like, no, I'll die. Like, yeah, go.
I was just going to say, I mean, this is all hypothetical, but I think it also like can build into something quite unhealthy where, because I can imagine a world in which, and this is a stereotype, but you start engineering these situations in which you get into these little fights because to some extent it would feel, depending on who it is, but it would feel good for a girl that every time they got into a little fight that she could put all the blame on this guy, he has to do everything to make it feel better. She gets kind of like...
That's an angle I hadn't thought of, yeah.
And obviously, that's a very extreme example. Like, I'm not saying, you know, these women are manipulating him into causing fights just so he can, you know.
Shout out to the world's loudest motorbike ever. It's a fucking dirt bike. I think they call them motocross in the US, don't they?
I don't know. But
motocross,
we're
dirt
in
bike.
In the country, it happens.
Yeah, fucking loud, bro. But it's like halfway down the road and I can still hear it. All right, go.
But I guess there's a situation which she probably wants that to happen because to some extent, it would probably feel nice having this guy, like, fawn over her and being like, I want to make everything better. Are you okay? Like,
yeah. Yeah, because if it didn't, she would shut it down and say, can you stop? Or she'd break up or, you know, she'd distance herself or she'd just get bored halfway through. Like, she's letting you talk until 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, you kind of both end up creating a
you
situation where you
want this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, therefore, you're right. It's like people who... I know Hollywood, like... aggrandizes this, that's not the right word, romanticizes this, like makeup sex. I've always been someone who's been against makeup sex because I'm like, you're literally training yourself like a Pavlovian dog to have a fight and then have passionate, crazy, wild sex afterwards. Like, what the fuck is wrong? Just at least put some distance between the makeup and the sex. Like, don't let that passion and that lust and like those emotions, because yeah, you're literally like teaching yourself, if we have a fight, then we get to have the best sex of our relationship.
Yeah, you're training yourself to want to have a fight.
Yeah, no, you'll accidentally have a fight and then it will become intentional. Then before you know it, it's like your best sex only comes when you fight and now you guys are fucking with each other, even just on a subconscious level. Mm. So we're not saying any of these people that you're dating are like going out there and like, oh, I need to make him dis-. But it's like...
It's an extreme hypothetical.
Yeah. You're certainly incentivizing her to... You're certainly making it so that like you guys are going to just... Yeah, you're incentivizing it. You really are. You're incentivizing your own anxiety as well.
Yeah, because I think for him, and obviously this is all trying to read from that question, but
yeah,
there is probably something that there's some sense of control that comes with, like, I can make it my job to fix it. I can be the one in control. Like, I can always control the scenario.
That's what I meant when I said it's like you think you're God. I get to control other people's emotions and make them dance like my puppet. And I'm not saying that you're doing it like some psychopathic Machiavellian thing, but like you are essentially saying I can control other people's emotions. Maybe we should talk about that. We didn't even touch on that. Dude, it's not your job to control people's feelings. They are their own human beings. Unless you're in some kind of like really, really, really overbearing dom sub BDSM relationship. Like, it's not your job to make the other person feel good. It's your job to make yourself feel good first and foremost, And we will talk about that in a second, because I do want to address how you can deal with your own anxiety around this. You just be the best person you can possibly be. If you're a fuck up, fine, just be working on it. That's fine. You don't have to be perfect right now. And you come together with the other person who's hopefully doing the same thing. If they're not, you go and find someone who is. You should be dating people who are also working on their own happiness and want to be a healthy, well-rounded individual who's independent to some degree, to a large degree. And you come together and you say, like, I like you, you like me, I add to your life, you add to my life. Like, but I can't, if you're having a shit day, I can't just make you feel better.
Yeah, I think ultimately it comes down to the fact that as long as you're acting with good intention and there's no, like, malice behind what you're doing, you're not trying to hurt the other person. Yes, sometimes you will fall, like,
sometimes
will fuck
you
up.
Will fuck it up. Yep, you'll hurt the other person, of course.
You'll make them feel bad, but, like, as long as, you know, for the most part, you're just trying to do good by each other, then
yep,
that's good enough. I mean, obviously try and do better, but, like, for the most part, just, you know, try to do good enough.
Yeah, and so in terms of letting go, like, that's, I let go with you all the time. Like, if you're having a bad day, I'll remind you of, like, 3 or 4 techniques that you can use to make yourself feel better. And then sometimes you still feel shit. I'll literally force you to, not force, but I'll be like, come on, just do these things for me, or for yourself. And you'll do these exercises and you won't feel any better. And then at that point, I have a choice to make. I can either sit there for the rest of the day or however long it takes trying to make you feel better. That's us saying, you feel a little down and stuck in the mud right now. Let me get down in the mud with you and we both get dirty. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that good? How is that a good relationship? That's just us focusing on the negatives. Instead, I say, all right, well, I'm not going to get down about this. I still have my own life to live. She doesn't want me to get down about this. She doesn't want me to sit here in the mud with her. Then we're both fucking miserable. You don't want that. Like, you do not want me to get sad with you. And to some extent, if I then say, okay, well, I've tried, like, you let go by saying, yeah, I've done all I can do. I've done a reasonable amount. And any more that I do after this point is just making it worse. It's not going to make it better. So she knows that I care. She's seen that I've just given her some tips. She can go off and do them on her own. If I sit there obsessing about your bad feelings, all we're doing is focusing on those bad feelings. I'm not giving you a chance to fix them because we're just focusing on the mud and us both feeling shit together.
Yeah. And I think on the topic of the focus, like, it's very much the case of, like, turning a molehill into a mountain. I mean,
yes, we're going to keep mentioning this point, yeah.
But, like, it makes it a bigger deal than it needs to be.
Yeah. So let's say you're having a shit day over the most mundane, and sometimes, like, it is mundane shit. It's just so, from my point of view, it's like, okay, that's nothing, right? Yeah.
Sometimes you just have a shit day, like, for no,
yeah,
like,
I've had fucking grumpy shit days for, yeah.
Like, literally, like, nothing's wrong, and I just, like, feel a bit like, shit.
Yeah.
Both get that.
Now, if I sit there and focus on it, it's like, I've made it into a big deal. If I just show you it's not a big deal, you'll be able to move past it.
Yeah.
If you watch me just going and sitting off and working on my website, you will sit in your negative feelings for, like, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, and then you just kind of, like, they just go away because you see that the world is going on around you.
You use the same principle with kids. Like, when they fall over and
yeah, I was
going to
say the kids one. I'm so glad you brought that up because I was going to say that.
It's literally like if they fall over and they scrape their knee, you're like, oh, you're okay. That's all good. It's like if you start freaking out and be like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, does it hurt? Like, they're going to freak out. They're going to cry. It's going to be
a
really big deal.
I've seen that so many times. You'll see a kid fall over. Parents go, oh my God, my baby. And then the kid starts crying.
The kid only starts crying after you react.
And you see the opposite all the time. The parents will be walking ahead of the kid and the kid will be behind them. The kid will run to catch up and he'll fall over. I mean, kids are fucking retarded when it comes to running. They're not capable human beings.
They need more practice using their limbs.
Fucking useless, right? They're like jellyfish or octopus or something. Like a retarded octopus, right?
Octopus.
And so they fall, octopi, so they fall down and mum and dad don't notice because they're too far ahead. And the kid will kind of sit up, look at mum and dad, look all around him, see that nobody saw him fall down apart from me, who's judging the shit out of him at that point in time, right? Like, oh my God, I'm like filming that shit, right? That's going on YouTube.
You know, there was a point where you were a child and you could
never
control your limbs.
I could always walk. My mum taught me to walk when I was like 1 day old.
Well done.
I did a good job too. I was like a sprinter from day 2.
Yeah. So, just superior offspring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Alpha male from birth, baby. So the kid will fall down, look around, no one's looking, and then they'll kind of just sit there. There's like a 5 second, you can see their brain ticking over. They're like, should I cry? If I cry, like, no one will care, and I'm not going to sit here and cry, and then mum and dad will have walked even further. So they'll just get up and run to their parents. I've seen that 500 million times. If you just don't treat it like it's a big deal, then it isn't a big deal. Like, you're sitting here basically saying, I know you're not doing this intentionally. Again, none of this is meant as an attack, but you're sitting here saying, like, my partner is upset. It's the end of the world. Guess what? Now it is the end of the world. You're going to confirmation bias. You're going to come up with 500 reasons. And you're an intelligent dude. I know you. You are smart enough to come up with 500 reasons why it is a big deal. I mean, okay, no, to be fair, you do say that, like, this is something I want to work on. So you do acknowledge that, like, you are being...
It's an overreaction.
Overreactive, yeah. But you're smart enough to, in the moment, say like, oh my God, but like, if my partner leaves me, then I'll be all alone. And like, I hate when they're upset. And like, also, you know, I really care about them and I don't want to upset them. And, you know, I'm trying to work on being a better person. And if I upset them all the time, that's just proof that I'm not successful. Like, you'll come up with reasons why it is a big deal.
Yeah, it's human nature to ruminate. Like, biology favors negative thinking.
Yeah. And so what you have to do in that moment, I know it's hard. It's really freaking hard. And so maybe you need to practice with small things and you need to accept the fact that you're not going to get it right away. It might take 600 tries, right? You are going to be anxious and you are going to be like this for a long time. Not forever, because you will fix it, because you, Imogen, are fixing this yourself. You are way better than when we first met. But like, you need to just take a deep breath. Why did this, there's a butterfly just landed on, you didn't see that. A butterfly just landed on my goddamn, like, pop filter, like 1 inch from my nose. This is why nature is fucking gorgeous. So flip it in that moment and say, like, okay, my brain is giving me 500 reasons why this is a big deal. Can I come up with even just two or three reasons why this isn't a big deal? Right? Like, you may have to, like, do some mental gymnastics to come up with anything. Be like, you may have to do some crazy shit, like, well... If they leave me, I guess I can just find someone else. Like, that's crazy as fuck. Like, I get that. Maybe think like, well, you know, they've been disappointed in the past and we've had some high moments, some good moments after they were disappointed. So this won't last forever. I can just let this go and they will eventually be okay because that happened in the past. Like, you didn't keep talking about this stuff forever. Even though you stayed up till 6:30 a.m. sometimes, you stopped. And then it got better. And now... I think you're probably aware of what I'm going to say, but like, you were delaying it getting better by talking about it. If you just shut the fuck up at midnight and gone to bed slightly disappointed in each other, you would have woken up and been like, hi, baby, I love you. I'm sorry about last night. And you would have been like, yeah, it's okay. I feel good now. We've had some fucking sleep, bro.
I will say that like, there is something, and I've done it a million times. It's just like, if you're having a really bad day, the world always feels like it's end, like 10 p.m. onwards.
It's fucking horrible, yeah.
Everything feels terrible. And you wake up and it's like the morning and the sun's out and you're like, everything is okay. I feel immediately better.
I have days like that. I've had days like that to you where I'm like, I'm just in a shit mood. And you're like, well, what are you going to do about it? And I'm like, I'm going to have an early night. I'm just going to bed. Like, I don't give a fuck. The world can go fuck itself. I'm going to bed. I'll go to bed at fucking like 8 p.m. or some shit. And I'll just lie in there watching YouTube videos. And like, I'm going to bed at 6 p.m. and I'll lie in there until like 9 p.m. when I fall asleep. The world can go away. I know I will feel better in the morning. And then guess what? You wake up and you're like, why was I so grumpy? That's embarrassing. Like, what's wrong with me? I'm a fucking child. But by staying up till 6:30 a.m., now you guys have to be unhappy till 6:30. You probably would have woken up if you had good night's sleep at like 7 a.m. anyway. So like, you could have just used that time to sleep. And now you're going to go to bed. When you do wake up, you're both going to feel grumpy and tired and shit. And that's just going to be even more... You're going to use that tiredness from a lack of sleep as evidence that something is still wrong. Like, you might wake up at midday after only having like 5.5 hours sleep or 5 hours sleep or whatever. You'll feel like shit. And then you go, wow, I feel like shit. That must be because my partner is disappointed in me. That must be because what I did was extra bad. That must be because we had a fight. So go to bed, young man. I can't believe I have to sound like a boomer and say, go to bed. Why are you staying up till 6:30 a.m., dude? I know you're not doing that intentionally, but like, that's probably 3/4 of your problem right there, that you're making this stuff into a big deal by talking about it for so damn long. I would also suggest, and we don't have to talk about this a huge amount, suggest like looking into where this comes from. So My friend, for instance, it's because his mother was a fucking psychopath, like some sort of like bipolar or like something really, really, really wrong with her, like heavily narcissistic, like borderline personality disorder. I can't diagnose it, but like just everything he's told me, it's like, holy shit, this woman has like issues. And she put all of her problems onto him. She literally said, "Mum feels bad. You have to make me feel better." Mm. And so he has memories. He told me he had memories of when he was like 4 years old and Mum was on the couch, depressed, drinking alcohol, talking about how the world was evil and like, you know, his father was a piece of shit and like all this kind of, like just every problem that you can imagine to a four-year-old fucking child. And then she would say, "You need to make Mummy feel better." And so he was, as a four-year-old child, how does he know how to make an adult feel better? And guess what? She was a fucked up adult who didn't want to feel better. So 0% chance he can make her feel better.
0% chance, yep. Yeah.
Evil stuff. He could have made her feel better if he'd gotten her the knife and said, "End it, Mummy," because then at least I get... That would have been a better outcome, right? A four-year-old's never going to do it. Don't look at me like that. That would have been a better situation for him. If his mum like fell off a cliff and died, he would have had a better childhood. Absolutely.
Probably, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely certain of that. And so he would just have to try a bunch of shit. Like he would go and get her some cookies and he said she would just throw them away and say, "What are you trying to make Mummy fat? Like, do you want Mummy to be disgusting? Is that what you're trying to do?" And he would then go and try something else and something else and something else and something else. And he'd like try and do dances for her and sing songs. And like, this is a four-year-old fucking child. My heart breaks when I think about this shit, right? And he would try 50 things and she just wouldn't feel better. And so he's got it baked into his head that if a woman is unhappy, first of all, it's his job to fix it. And second of all, he's taught himself, or she has taught him, that nothing he does will make her feel better. And so it sounds like this is kind of a similar problem that you have. So this guy, he would specifically find girls who are fucked up. Like he would just go to them. And I'm not saying that you have done that. I don't know anything about your relationship. But like this guy in particular would date fucked up people, like really fucked up people. Mm. People as fucked up as he was. Mm. They were like a magnet to each other. And they would like circle the drain, so to speak, and make each other as miserable as possible. And like ruin each other's lives, like quite literally ruin each other's lives. And he would spend the entire relationship anytime they were unhappy, or he would even invent times when they were unhappy. They could be perfectly happy and he would just imagine that they were unhappy. I saw it with my own two eyes. Mm. And like she could just be sitting there on the couch on her phone and he'd be like, "Are you unhappy with me?" And she'd look up and be like, "No. What do you mean?" And he'd be like, "Are you mad at me for something?" And she'd be like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, and enough of that. And then she'll be like, "Yes, well, yes."
If you say that five times, she's like, "Can you just fucking relax? I can't relax around you. Your anxiety is like rubbing off on me and making me feel shit." We got to wrap this up in like 20 minutes because I got a coaching call. Unless I just neglect my duties and say like, "Sorry, bro, running late. I'm doing a podcast, bro."
Bro.
So, yeah, this guy would like invent reasons that she was unhappy, that his girlfriend was unhappy, even when she wasn't. And then he would also put it in his head that nothing he did would make her feel better. So he might make her feel better. Like he might go and make her a sandwich or something. Role reversal right there, right? The bitches should be making. And so, and she would be like, "Oh, thanks, baby." Like this, she would literally say, "This makes me feel better." Or, "You cheered me up." Or, "Thanks." Or she'd smile. And then he would say like, "You're not really happy. Is there something else I can do?" And she'd be like, no, "I'm good. You just made me feel better." And he'd be like, "No, like there's something else I could do." He'd get like anxious and frantic and like weird and be like, no, like maybe I'll make you some water or something. I'll get you something else. I'll do something else. Like frantic, anxious energy because he didn't want her to be okay or he didn't believe that she ever could be okay.
Yeah, like this core belief that like I can't, nothing that I do will make her truly okay.
And you obviously have that, like... If you are sitting there till 6:30 in the morning having these conversations.
Because at that point, nothing you say could make it better. If you've said...
If you haven't fixed it by 6.5 hours, you're not going to fix it. So you're telling yourself, "I can't fix this, but I'm going to keep trying."
So is that the essence... just to like circle back. Is that the essence of like how do I kind of stop feeling bad or trying to fix it? Is what I've grasped from that.
What do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, just to like talk about to like the fact that like to answer the question, is the question, how do I stop feeling bad about like not making her feel better or deal with the feeling of being like disappointing somebody?
He acknowledges that this is his anxiety. So he goes on to say he literally called his partner and said like, I know this is my own shit. This isn't you. Mm. And his partner says, like, yeah, I wasn't upset. Or, like, I'm not upset. Either she was, either wasn't upset or is not now upset. Mm. And everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but sometimes people are actually going to be upset. Okay, so he's completely misread. So this just literally ties into my point. Apparently she wasn't upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mate, you're inventing reasons and you are going to make your partners upset by constantly saying, are you upset? Are you upset? Are you upset? I'm sorry. I'm anxious. Are you upset? Are you upset? Like,
yeah, because at some point they will start looking to be upset.
If you say to someone, are you upset? They will think there for a second like, am I upset?
Can I find something to be upset about?
He thinks I'm upset. Am I? It's almost like gaslighting. It's like you're like, I thought I was in a good mood, but maybe I am upset about something. Well, I guess you didn't do the dishes last night and I've done them the last 5 times. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Let's talk till 6:30 a.m. about why I don't do the dishes. You've hinted at in your last paragraph, this may stem from childhood. Definitely dive into that. I don't know if you've been to counseling about, you know, if there is something there, like, but that's something you need to resolve. Like, if that has come from childhood, you're going to have to dig that up.
Yeah, I think because awareness around what you're doing and knowing where it comes from helps a lot. Like, awareness is like, I'm not even going to put a number to it, but a large portion of the problem. Because if you can actually stop in that moment and be like, am I overreacting? Is this actually a big deal?
Yeah.
That goes a long way into like into then how you respond.
And the best way to do that is like digging up your childhood and thinking about like if there is some, like, you know, I don't know if you, I know nothing about your situation. I wouldn't talk about it on here if you hadn't either. If there is like, if you had what my mate had, like with the overbearing parent, Imogen, your dad was like that. Not to that extent, but like very much he would get disappointed in you all the time. So you have this like fear of disappointing someone. You have to constantly make things okay. It's up to you to fix everything. And if dad's upset, then that's your fault. And your dad is just permanently upset, right? Like your dad is just unhappy daily.
Yeah. I don't think, not to delve into my situation too much, but I think it more came from a point of like, he was always expecting more. So it was never quite good enough. And I guess I have that sense of my own. And it was never overt. And it always came from a place of like, I just want you to do well and succeed and all of that. But I think that kind of drove me a little bit, like, maybe a little bit neurotic about never doing a good enough job.
It's like you're walking around stepping on eggshells. And I'm assuming this guy's going to be doing the same thing. Like if you're constantly terrified of these big, awkward arguments that you have to go until 6:30 a.m., you're going to walk on eggshells. And by doing so, because you're constantly thinking, oh my God, I'm going to do something wrong. I'm going to fuck up. You just will because you're obsessing about it. Instead, what you need to do is reframe it. And this will take a lot of practice. Reframe it like, I'm not perfect, but I can do a good job of this relationship. I can make myself happy. I'm worthwhile to be in a relationship with. People who date me are lucky. I have a lot to give. Any of these statements, all of these statements, do them as daily affirmations. Like literally stand in front of the mirror every morning, put a calendar reminder every day so you don't forget, and say some of these things out loud to yourself 20 times while you look yourself in the eyes. It will be extremely confronting, but you need to do this. You need to start saying things like, I have a lot to give. I'm someone worthwhile. I'm worth being in a relationship with. I'm a good person. I have a lot of positive qualities. Say these things to yourself over and over again. You might have to say them 10,000 times each before you even start thinking like, I've said this 10,000 times now. Could there be some grain of truth in this? That's why you do affirmations, to eventually convince, to make yourself question like, wait, is this affirmation I'm doing actually correct? Like, am I a good person? And then from there, like, great, now you will start figuring out ways in which you are a good person. You'll start confirmation biasing. You'll start looking for ways in which you are good in a relationship. What were you going
to say? I was going to say, it may not even be as overt as that. Like, I saw a hypnotist a couple of times for my eating and my neurotic thoughts, and he would do a similar exercise where I had to write something out like 100 times, like a day for a week or something like that.
Yep.
And it's not even the fact that like you, like with awareness, actually question and think about what you're saying. It's just that that kind of seeps out into everyday life.
Like, it's like a voice in your head if you repeat it enough times.
Yeah, it's essentially what hypnotism is. It's this like
very
unconscious thing that you start carrying with you, and rather than carrying like the negative subconscious thoughts, you don't.
Because you are saying negative things to yourself right now, dude.
constantly and you don't realize it.
So, yeah.
But, and I guess the positivity kind of counters that, mitigates it, and to a certain, at some point, the idea is that it like overtakes the negative thoughts.
Yes. You've essentially brainwashed yourself. I know you wouldn't see it like this, or you might not see it like this, but you've essentially brainwashed yourself, or at least reinforced the habit of anxiety. Because I guarantee you, you're going around every day saying, like, I'm anxious, I have an anxiety disorder. You literally wrote, I have an anxiety disorder in your thing. Cool. That's now one more time that you've mentioned to yourself that you have an anxiety disorder. What if you brainwash yourself by every day saying like 20 times or more than that, you need to do it more than that, but like 20 times, I'm working on my anxiety, or I'm someone who's becoming less anxious, or I'm becoming a more happy, well-rounded person, or, you know, I have tools for dealing with my anxiety, or I'm a confident, like you just, you brainwash yourself. You need to brainwash yourself. This is literal brainwashing. You're going to have to give yourself, this is propaganda. You need to repeat it to yourself tens of thousands of times and stop this brainwashing of, I have an anxiety disorder. I don't give a fuck if you have an anxiety disorder. You, and I don't mean that without compassion or empathy. You end your thing by saying, I have no idea what I'm supposed to call this. Like, as in you wanted to know how, what to call this, like anxiety, and stop labeling it, because if you know what to call it, you're just then going to keep saying, I am this, I have this. Fucking stop it. Stop saying you have anxiety. I don't know if you're going to listen to me, but like, whatever, I'll do the fatherly thing and say like, I forbid you forever saying that you have a generalized anxiety disorder ever again. You don't get to say that ever again. You've probably never heard me say this because I don't ever say it. I probably have attention deficit disorder. I probably do. Everyone I've ever said that to goes like, yeah, ha, I bet you do. Like, that's just you. Like, yeah. I don't go around fucking saying it because it doesn't fucking matter. I can't focus on it. I struggle so hard to focus on anything. It's fucking insane. There are so many flaws that I have in my personality, but I'm not going to sit there and like harp on about them, because then I would brainwash myself into thinking it's a big deal, as we've been talking about. I would think it's important. Oh, fuck, I have ADD. I can't do anything.
Yeah, it would probably exacerbate those negative habits.
I would just, yeah, I'll focus on them. Instead, I say, no, that's fine. I know how to deal with it. I'll work around it. You know, you acknowledge your flaws. Fine. Acknowledge that you have anxiety, that you are an anxious person. Fine. But stop obsessing about it. Obsess about the things you're doing to fix it. Obsess about, I'm someone who's dealing with his anxiety. Even saying that statement is better than, I have anxiety, or I am an anxious person. Say, I am the person working on it. I am a person who constantly works on his flaws and makes them better. And, you know, I'm a self-improvement obsessionist. There you go. That's what you have to replace it with.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, not to go on too much of a tangent, but with the affirmations, at least the ones that I sometimes do or have been told to do by yourself and other people in the past, it's not even necessarily stuff I believe, like, at all.
Yeah, you don't believe it. You have to brainwash it. I'm literally using the word brainwash yourself into positivity. Brainwash. Hypnotize.
Mm.
Before we finish up, one of the other guys who replied, because this was a post on my forums, one guy called Sin Silva. What a cool name. I like this guy. Yeah, he's got good shit to say. He said, you've got to read No More Mr. Nice Guy, a book by Robert Glover. I'll leave a link in the show notes below to that book. I've talked about that book before. Absolutely, dude. Just start with that book. Like, that essentially teaches you to stop people-pleasing, like, because that's what you're doing right now, trying to control other people. And he makes similar points to what I say in the book. He says, like, you're arrogant as fuck if you think that you can just please everyone. Like, that's arrogant as fuck. And you need to stop trying this creepy is not the right word, but like this overbearing, controlling behavior. You don't know that it's controlling, but you are controlling the fuck out of your partner right now. You are just trying, like, honey, you're not allowed to feel sad for a bit. Like, fuck you. You can't feel sad. That's controlling, dude. That really is the definition of like a dominant, overbearing, controlling. I won't say abusive. I'm not saying that at all, but like it's overbearing at the very least. Sometimes you got to let your partner feel sad, dude. Like, sometimes they're going to feel like shit. You have to let them feel that. Give them the right to feel that. Because right now you're essentially expressing you don't have the right to feel sad. And I'm sure you let her feel sad sometimes. But like, if I'm feeling anxious, you don't have the right to feel anything that would make me feel more anxious. That's how we should say it. You don't have the right to make me feel more anxious. And it's like, sorry, she does. She can live her own life. She's an adult. I know that I've been very hard on you with this, And none of this is me judging you whatsoever. I am saying this entirely out of love. I'm giving you tough love because I'm trying to slap you into some sense. Because essentially, you probably have never considered the things that I've just said, that you are arrogant, that you think you're God. You've never considered that. You think you can control someone else's emotions and feelings, literally like a puppet master. So I want you to go away and think about those things. If we, I will post a link to this to you on the forum so you can like listen to this. Anyone else who has a similar question, like feel free to email me and ask about this. Like we love answering these kind of questions. I know he didn't specifically ask me to cover this, but any stuff like this, I promise I'll try and be a little nicer. I don't think I was hard on him, was I?
I mean, to be fair, you've done the same thing to me. You've said, like, you're so fucking arrogant. Like,
yeah, and so and that's what you need to hear sometimes.
And it does. It definitely comes out of a place of compassion.
Yeah, you know I love you when I'm saying this. Not just you, but this guy. Dude, I love you. Like, not in that, like, let's, you know, touch our dicks together or anything like that. Because, like, I'm more into women for that kind of stuff. But, like, as in, I like to touch women's dicks. But all of this was, I wouldn't have made this freaking podcast if I didn't want you to feel better. If this was just a, like, let's shit on LaCroix. Mm. If this was let's shit on him, I would have just mocked you and, you know, aha, look at this, you know. I think you get the sense that this is coming out of love and that I want you to be able to work on this shit. And sometimes you do need someone to slap you and be like, holy fuck, you're arrogant. I had someone say the same shit to me. I don't know if it was my mum or if it was one of the first counselors I ever went to. It was when I was depressed. They said something along... It was like my mom said something like, the world doesn't revolve around you. And I was like...
you said that your dad said that in like a restaurant.
My dad said that too. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I used to have like crazy anxiety. We'll kind of wrap it up because I got to go in like...
A minute.
7 minutes. I used to have crazy agoraphobia and anxiety and just like delusions of like, I thought everyone was like... It was like paranoia. I thought everyone was like looking at me and judging me and all this kind of shit. And I was sitting in a restaurant with my dad. And I had just told them that I was like super depressed and suicidal. Like that had all come up. I'd just broken up with, or she broke up with me, like an abusive relationship. We were both just horrible to each other. Like it was just, everything was fucking shit, right? And I was sitting in this restaurant looking around going like, and my dad was like, why are you looking around? And I was like, dad, like everyone's judging me. They know that like I'm a loser and like all this kind of shit. And my dad looked around for a second and in hindsight, I know no one was looking at me, but at the time I thought everyone was. I thought they were looking at me out of the corner of their eyes. And Dad said, Andrew, and he says that when he's being serious, not Andy, but Andrew, nobody gives a shit about you. And he said it with so much like anger and like almost like contempt, but not contempt for me, contempt for the idea, the concept that I had just said. The idea that I'm so special that everyone would be judging me. And the way he said it was like he just punched me in the fucking face. And my dad never talks like that. My dad never swears. I've heard him swear like 5 times, including that time. One time when he fell off the roof and broke his elbow in like 5 places. Another time where he smashed his wrist. Like those are the only times I've ever heard him swear. And yeah, that shook me. And I knew that he was saying it out of love. It hurt like hell. It's like, Dad, don't swear at me. But I just kind of sat there and didn't say anything for like a long time. And I needed to hear that. So I hope this was what you needed to hear. I don't expect this will fix you. I've literally said like, it will take you a lot of practice and therapy and books. Read No More Mr. Nice Guy, stuff like that. And this is something you'll have to work on. Probably take like 2 years to get to a point where you're like healthy boundaries. You don't act like this. But you don't have to wait 2 years. That's like 2 years of constant little improvements and feedback and, you know, you're seeing the changes, so go get it. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that it's a pretty comprehensive rundown of that question.
And there's more shit that we could have talked about. I had like 5 other points that I was going to say, but I really do have to go literally now for another coaching call. If you feel like there was something we didn't cover, just let us know and we can kind of touch on it a bit more and maybe like a half episode or something. We'll see how we go. So yeah. Stay safe, stay sane, stay happy. Mm-hmm. Always wear a hat when you're outside and wear some sunscreen for fuck's sakes. Like I see that many kids outside not wearing sunscreen.
That's not true. And all kids wear sunscreen.
I've seen kids not wearing sunscreen. It triggers me. I know we had this whole episode about you can't control other people, but like,
wear sunscreen.
And that is literally my life philosophy, not controlling other people, but like,
gotta wear sunscreen.
Kids who don't wear sunscreen are a special case and they either need to wear sunscreen or be shot. Do you agree with this statement?
No.
So, yes. I'm going to edit this to the part where you just said yes.
No.
You've said yes at previous points in this podcast. I'm going to edit that into the end.
Mm-mm.
Bye-bye.